Welcome back, everybody. We've got the band back together. Georgie Boy is here after his trip to Tokyo. We go down a couple of wormholes, like as we normally do on the show. We talk about Tinder for bike riders, which is a very, very interesting topic.
George got a rash.
And yeah, we talk about the transfer market, George's switch to UAE, and we talk about the Vuelta briefly.
And you like, criticised my breakfast choice.
So. And George ate porridge during the
show. Double Christmas. Like, share, subscribe.
Thank you for being here. You're here on a special day, I'll tell you that.
Why is it not working, Jonesy?
They don't want to be locked into a house or an apartment.
Got to follow the social distancing rule.
And some nuff dicks were getting tested, then going in and doing a shop.
COVID. I had it.
Detective so, George Bennett.
Yeah, he's a bellend. Absolutely.
George, don't say hello to you. Like,
I don't know. I'm actually genuinely embarrassed.
I broke my back.
A vertebrae or a portion?
Spinal.
Wait, Josie, just do that. Do that thing where you just put Bill's talking and let me see. I can hear him first.
The first 30 seconds of that show is the epitome of the show. Like, it's taken us, 2 weeks to finally get our shit together and have another show. Finally got George back because he was away at Tokyo the previous show. Finally got all three back together. You had so much time to change that intro. That intro is not even relevant. Your name's not even on there. It's a social distance podcast with Dan Reilly and George Bennett. Like, you're not even on there. It's like a year old.
It's a little thing called priorities, Sam. It just hasn't been a priority. Doesn't excuse it. You're doesn't excuse lazy behavior, and I'm in lockdown. I've got no excuses other than I'm riddled with CBF.
So it's funny how it works like that, eh? Like, the more time you have, the less productive you are.
Oh, yeah. Always.
Well, mate, we're in a lockdown 65 here in Melbourne, and your just motivation to do anything. Scratch your ass is pretty low, you know. We predicted this, though. We said, we said everyone last year, write this year off, put it into the bin. Oh, well, 2022, write it off.
And Jacinda Jacinda watched the show and thought, those guys are full of shit, the arrogance of the woman. Oh, yeah. Now look at them. She almost made it, but not quite. Yeah.
Look how smug you are. Fuels is so smug and happy because he's gone, the whole time he's had this chip on his shoulder, like, oh, New Zealand never did lockdown. Like, you know, they got away lightly and I was stuck in my apartment for 10 weeks. And now, like, he's just absolutely reeling in the fact that he's just like, oh yeah, they're back in lockdown and we're fine. So chipper about it. The bit he's like, have you heard the news, mate? I was like, what? He's like, yeah, New Zealand's in lockdown. So good, eh?
Oh, you're gonna get hate mail, mate. Hate mail. You've turned on your own. Absolutely turned.
I sent one of those emojis with that person blowing that streamer, like, like the party emoji.
There's your old man holding up with the lockdown.
I haven't really spoken to him, actually. Probably should have.
Oh, good.
That's one of the rules in New Zealand lockdown. So intense. No phone calls.
Yeah.
He tried to message me and I said, mate, you're not just locked down to people in your country. Don't try to contact me while you're in level 4.
That's a breach, Ken. Can't do that. Can't be texting me.
But surely, like, we're just going to have to learn to live with it. That's what they're doing in Europe at the moment, aren't they? They're just going, all right. But now they're locking down again, aren't they? I can't keep track of any of this shit.
No, we're not locked down here. There's always restrictions here of some sort, but the restrictions are all so manageable for us. So manageable. Mm. Like, it's effectively a normal life. It's what we're used to as normal now. But like, yeah, we've got to wear masks inside, but we don't have to wear them on the streets anymore. Okay, there's a curfew, but the curfew is 1 a.m. till 6 a.m. It's affecting maybe the youth a little bit, but so it's not us as much. And like, pretty much the only restriction that sometimes a little bit affects us is if you go to a restaurant or someone's birthday party or something, you can't have more than 10 people sitting at a table in a restaurant. Mm. Very rarely, but at times it does affect us and it's a bit annoying. But ultimately, man, like, we're not really. And that's what I was just reading this article this morning. It was an article by the New Zealand Herald that they didn't write because they just took pieces from every other newspaper in the world about how Jacinda's handled this current lockdown that they've just brought in. So New Zealand's in level 4 now. They've got 105 cases or something in the last 6 days. And they were just saying, yeah, like New Zealand, like watching the news in New Zealand is, it's a little bit like a step back into the past, because we did it all in Europe and all around the world, and now they're just doing it now again. So, like, I don't know, man. There's so many ways, but I think ultimately now she's done a good job up until this point, but now it's time to start getting those vaccines out and start just learning to live with the fucking...
I feel like you're focused in on the wrong point of this whole thing. Like,
what is?
Well, no one really, like, three people died of COVID in New Zealand. You know what I mean? I feel like that's the, like,
yeah.
As opposed to, like, yeah, but in New Zealand they can't have more than 10 people at a lunch. You know what I mean? Like, it's the wrong aspect of the argument. You're judging the success of what you're able to do currently in your daily life, as opposed to how much crisis we avoided. Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Comparing success, like rating your success by your current status of freedoms, is not necessarily a way to measure it.
I wasn't saying we were more successful or they were more successful. I was saying that what we've done, they're doing. We're at a different time. So yeah. Like there's potential that New Zealand eliminates it, like they have done successfully in the past. I feel a little bit more pessimistic about that now, because it's the Delta variant and we've seen how fucking virulent that is. But what I'm trying to say is that maybe New Zealand now, I hope not, is going to go into what we went through
potentially, yeah,
before that, which will be a fucking real... And then again, I don't mean to take away the importance of keep people's health, but it'll be a real inconvenience for you and I, George, because we go back to New Zealand and are in fucking lockdown.
I'll tell you what, I won't be going back. If it's like, I've got 4 weddings in 2 months.
That's a movie.
That's my own funeral. 4 weddings and my own funeral at the end of it.
Mate, I just on the weddings in this year or even early next year, like, man, I'd be going shotgun wedding all the way. I wouldn't be...
Oh, you wouldn't say 4 weddings. Shit. I'm getting married 4 times.
Ah, right.
On top shotgun weddings.
Tour. Yeah.
My brother's getting married in the start of December, so I didn't go back to New Zealand last summer, New Zealand time, winter European time, because I couldn't get a hotel room, you know, couldn't get back there. Not that I tried that hard. But I'm going back in November middle of November, got to do the 2 weeks and then come out like just a week before my brother gets married. But like, I mean, it's still a long way away, but like, let's say, what the fuck's going to happen? Like,
Got to go in with real low expectations. Like, I wrote off my 40th this year, 12 months out, and then building up to the 40th, you know, we weren't in restrictions. People were going, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Nothing. Write it off. And they're going, what? The day before my 40th lockdown. And then they're all ringing me going, oh, I feel so sorry for you, mate. I'm like, I preempted this. I prepared for this.
It's actually a good stress point. Like, I was chatting to my dad, just briefly before we started recording the show. And
I thought you sit down and spoke to him.
No, I was just dramatizing things.
Liar.
Because just recently, in the last 12 hours, I guess, they announced that the current restrictions, the level 4 lockdown in New Zealand, has been extended till Friday nationwide and slightly longer in Auckland. But then I was thinking, like, that was like actually a real painful, that was a real hard thing to process during the Spanish lockdown or the Andorran lockdown or the European lockdown, because it was every 2 weeks they updated it. So you at least knew what was happening for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But then at the end of that 2 weeks, you're kind of hopeful, like, because 2 weeks is a longish period where you think, oh, maybe we're going to come out of it. And then at the end of that 2 weeks, boom, staying the same for another 2 weeks. Into that, boom.
The only good thing about the Sunday, who was the guy every Sunday afternoon? The Spanish
Sanchez.
Super good, like super hot. Caitlin's favorite time of the week.
But
it was Sunday afternoon watching Sanchez get up and make his announcement.
Yeah, he's a sexy lockdown man. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, you know, they've said it was Tuesday, now it's Friday. And I just said to my dad, I was like, mate, start wrapping your head around the fact that that's going to keep happening. Because that was actually quite unsettling. And I don't want my, I know my mum listens to the show. I don't want them to go through that thinking like, it's Friday, we're out.
Yeah, another week.
You know what I mean? Like,
just that was my point. No expectations. Minimal expectations.
Like, the cases are going 30, 40 cases every day. The reality is on Friday, you're not coming out of lockdown. Simple as that. I'm a pessimist, but wrap your head around it.
See, I go the opposite. I just go hotel, like optimism. Book a hotel, book a restaurant Saturday night, big day, invite your friends, 40 people, and then just roll with it.
George hasn't been on the show for a couple of episodes now because of Tokyo, and I feel like we switched spots. Like, I've come in real negative and he's coming real positive.
Yeah.
You know what?
Freaking me out.
I can see the appeal.
No, I've gone delirious. I arrived this morning at 2 a.m. from Tour of Norway after doing this strange sort of, I'm in the middle of a grand tour that's not a grand tour. came back from Poland, had like time off. I ended up getting this, did I tell you guys I got like sick in Tokyo?
No.
Like,
you never talked to us.
Oh, yeah. I end up with this rash, and not like everyone's going, oh, yeah, no, come back from Tokyo with a rash standard.
Yeah. It's not that what we focused on before you went to Tokyo.
But it was this other thing. It was this virus thing before the roadie. So it actually ruined the Olympics. So anyway, I came home and shut it down. And then just first day back riding, went out and I was like, I'm just going to go real long, do this huge long ride. And I was 4 hours in, and then the phone rang, and they're like, oh, what are you doing tomorrow? I was like, probably recovering from today. I'm like, oh, do you want to go to Poland? Not really. Yeah, well, too bad you're going to Poland.
I'm sorry, I phrased that wrong. You're going to Poland.
Yeah, wasn't a question.
And when did the announcement come out that you're going to UAE? Is this sort of like...
That was day two of Poland.
And how does it go, just to give people insights, when you announce that you're leaving that team and you're going to a different team, is everyone cool about it, or is there elements of like, ooh, the mechanic, a bit frosty, tyres don't...
Yeah, a little bit, it is weird. It's like, especially because I've been in this team 7 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time, you know? And like 7 years, and it's such a big organisation, you're going to have friends, unless you... Anyway, so like they announced it and everybody already knew it was pretty bad. Bad kept secret, but the whole week it's a little bit like, you know, UAE are in the same hotel as us the whole week. Same like in Norway.
Cheated on your partner or something?
Well, it's a little bit like, you know, your first girlfriend and she's going to university and you're going overseas. You sort of agreed you're going to break up, but the lease on the house is still there for another 6 months. And everyone's talking about next year, who's coming, and like, oh, yeah, next year we're riding these tires, this and that. And you're going, oh, yeah.
Cool.
Good on you.
Like for that whole 6 months, you try not to fuck each other, but ultimately someone does. Just like in the world tour. It's like you going to Poland.
That's it.
It was really like going out on a good note, you know. Like, it was actually like a really good breakup, you know. Like, it was like, let's say leaving with the door open and then good, like, you know, it's best. We both agreed it was best, kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
But you're still getting the late call ups, and then you're still doing interviews for journalists and asking you why you're leaving and how excited you are to race against Jumbo and Tour de France next year. And you know, you don't want to go, oh yeah, can't wait to line up against these blokes. Yeah.
And like the weird thing is, like, that's also not how you feel. You feel obviously like a loyalty to Jumbo for the past 7 years and for the remaining 6 months, and you guys have a good relationship. The parting has been good, like, you know, everyone's happy for everybody, and like you, but then you're also excited about the new chapter and the opportunities and the new, you know, the new way of doing things. But like you're not either way. You're not like, I hate them and like them, or I hate them and like, you know, like, it's just like,
yeah, you
just,
don't sign the contract and go like, right, these guys are dickheads and these guys are great. I've been fighting these guys on the bike for 7 years, but now they're my boys. And you know, it's
not an emotion one way or another, really. But then like the journalists are looking for that. Why are you leaving? Is it for this reason? Or do you want this or that? Or like, oh, it's just the business, actually, to be honest.
How many times do you have to go into the old cliche book? Oh, it was just a fresh start, you know.
Yeah, mixed emotions, fresh start.
Changes as good as a holiday.
Yeah,
I was really excited.
Scrappy second half, but the boys came out on top.
New opportunity.
I'll tell you what did make me, like, what I wasn't really expecting but happened a lot was, like, angry Dutch messages. How many of them I got? Like, or I think it's more that they're rivals of Jumbo-Visma, you know, biggest rival of Jumbo-Visma, you know, how can you go ride for our rivals, or how can you go ride for, you know, and they're all just like.
But it's, yeah, but I see your point about.
Cycling's weird in that it's not like other sports, you know, where you keep, like Barcelona, you keep the same kit, there's the history, it's always changing. So when they form these strong alliances, it's just a different sport. I don't, like, I sort of get it, but at the same time I go, where's the
history? You aligned to a rider, or you're aligned to a team in cycling as a fan? Like,
I think a team.
Rider, reckon?
I reckon riders.
More riders. Yeah. And you just follow them in. If it's GC and sprints, for sure.
I think with the exception of some teams, maybe. Like, with the exception of Greenedge, with the exception of Ineos, because they're a British team and they're an Australian team. Racing in Europe.
Okay. And maybe Spanish with Movistar and the Dutch with Jumbo. I can see you, man.
I think the fan base of Greenedge remains regardless of who the riders are. Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners.
No, you're right. You're right. I think that, I'll backpedal a bit. That makes sense.
But, for example, I don't think that there's still every New Zealand cycling fan without me and Finn on Jumbo anymore is still next year. Backing in Jumbo Visma for the win.
No, they're backing you for sure. Then that, in that sense, maybe as a minority, because we haven't got a New Zealand team, or I don't know. We're only a small handful of professional Kiwis. Of course, they follow the riders, but yeah, I don't know. It's that'd be actually worth hearing from the listeners. What you guys tell us, actually. Why are we discussing it? You guys tell us.
Do you hate me now, or do you hate me?
was it you that was saying, George, last year maybe, like how passionate they are, where they can't understand. Like, I think it was after the Worlds or one of the races, someone didn't attack and bridge a gap, and they were just like sick about it.
Oh, like, this was when Primoz. With Walt in the Worlds, and Alaphilippe was up the road.
That's right.
And Primoz was on the wheel trying to, like, just could not get to the front to pull. He was absolutely on the limit. And then everyone was like, all the Belgians were just like, he's helped you so much. And then, speaking of New Zealand World Tour teams or New Zealand teams, I actually lined up against one in Tour of Norway, Black Spoke.
Yes.
Two New Zealand teams, two continental New Zealand teams, Global Six as well.
Wow.
I speaking of New Zealand pros again, World Tour pros, is I think we have six or seven at the moment. Seven, I think. And a little birdie told me that I reckon we could be upwards of 11 or 12 next year. Without naming any names, we're not going to make press releases that don't exist yet, but... For all New Zealand cycling fans out there, it's an exciting year next year.
I think we've drawn a pretty long bow from a few of those that we are. He deserves a World Tour spot, and we have no idea if they're getting one.
I made them all up.
Yeah.
There could be four of us next year.
Have you? Do you know Pogacar that well?
Not really. No, pretty well. Yes, like say hello, talk to him.
He always comes across as just a chilled, good dude.
Actually, to be fair, I haven't met a bad Slovenian.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. There's a lot of them and they're all good, but I can't think of one I don't like.
Mm.
They're all sweet dudes, yeah.
Do you think it's because they're just a small country, probably like good, a bit of a New Zealand vibe, right?
Quality water, fresh air, woods, fresh outdoors. Air. You're not stuck inside all the time. Inner city. Makes a big difference.
It's a good
chopping
country.
Logs, mate. Chopping logs. Been watching much of the Tour of Spain boys, following the results.
I've been watching most of it, but I missed yesterday's stage. I was out for a long ride and I came home from training and it was like 4:30 or something. And time I got my shit together, I was like, oh, the Vuelta, I'll watch the finish of the Vuelta. So I turned the TV on at like 5 p.m. or something, and I just saw Roglic riding across the line at 55 seconds with Enric Mas. And then I was just like, people coming in like dribs and drabs, 1 minute to the next guy, 30 seconds to the next group of three. I'm like, and I was just like, what the hell has happened here? And then finally got on to the results and it looked like it was just nuts. It blew to pieces.
Caruso went on a 71K solo raid.
Did he?
Yeah, he was away for 70K.
Solo.
Yeah.
And Hagee's fourth on GC now, Bules.
Yeah, he's going good, eh? I kind of like that from him because he obviously went in. I saw on the Detour podcast you guys are talking about his chances a little bit, and he went in like coming off a broken collarbone at the tour, which actually I caught up with him on the bike in Andorra 3 weeks after he had his surgery, and it wasn't a simple collarbone break. There was a few complications which put him back a little bit. So I was also like, oh, it's hard to know. He's been off the bike a bit, don't know how he's going to go. Obviously, Lander's there as the leader. And he lost a bit of time early on.
He got hooked, didn't he? Like five minutes early on.
Hagee, no, he didn't lose that much, but he lost like a couple of minutes. Oh, maybe he lost 5 minutes, actually.
I reckon he lost quite a bit of time, and then somehow he went.
He went in the break. He was in the break 2 days ago when Storer won. And he got he got all that time back. And he's done a Ben O'Connor, basically, when Ben O'Connor won in 10 years there. Got all that time back and then ran fourth on GC. That's sort of what Hagee's. Is that how the Aussies do it?
Oh, yeah. It's real smart.
I'm still waiting for how much time's Lucas got to make back up.
He's got a number of minutes to make up.
Oh, it's even further back.
Yeah, he'll need a couple of big breaks.
Oh, fuck.
He'll need an Oscar Pereiro 2006 breakaway.
That was a 30-minute one, eh? How long did Flanders take back?
Oh, like 6 hours or something. I think he took back 8 minutes or 9 minutes or something.
Oh, yeah.
I think Landis, but he then also went positive. But because that was the year that Pereiro won. What year was that? 2006 or 2007?
Seven,
yeah.
So Pereiro had the 30-minute, and then he managed to hang on to like second, obviously, when Flanders took their time.
Six, yeah.
And then when Flanders got pinged, then Pereiro. So it's a pretty little known fact that Oscar Pereiro is actually a Tour de France champion.
Mm.
That's right. But one insight I always wanted to know is how do you go? Have you ever raced like a Grandi where you've been out of contract and like that's it? Because that must be fucking stressful. I remember when we did that UAE tour, remember? And there was guys in the bunch, it was steaming hot and they were right into near exhaustion and blokes are going, mate, this guy's out of contract. He's fucking cooking it up. Like the stress of that in the race. Oh,
I did the Vuelta 2014 with no job because the team was folding. They were merging with Cannondale. And I actually got like 2 years in a row, I got flicked from what was Garmin, because like I had like a verbal agreement and then before I went to Liquigas, and then like in October it fell through and I managed to just scramble this job with Liquigas, and then same thing happened the next year. So I went to Liquigas, I was doing the Vuelta, still had no job or anything, and it wasn't until after the Vuelta where I went riding and with a friend of mine. He's like, oh, you should come to Jumbo. I was like, yeah, go anywhere, mate. It's every day in the Vuelta, still had no job, trying to get in the breaks. I was creeping and it was just the most stressful time of my life. And then it wasn't until, again, I didn't sign until like late October. I was nearly out of cycling. I was basically packing up, going home.
I'll give you another pairing of people in the Vuelta that were racing for a contract was that guy Kobo, who won the Vuelta, and Froome, who finished second in the Vuelta. Neither of those two guys had a contract during that Vuelta. And
wow.
They finished first and second. And then, obviously, Froome, we know what happened to Froome after that. He got a contract and became the world's best Grand Tour rider. But I don't think Kobo actually got
one.
He maybe got one.
He went to
Movistar. Yeah.
And he
pissed around there for a couple of years.
Yeah, I remember being on a flight with him to China and thinking he was a mechanic, and then someone told me that was Kobo.
Yeah,
you won the Welter.
He was one of those dudes that like put on 15 kilos after a Grandier.
Yeah, like impressively. Big motor. He was like the David Boone of cycling, I reckon. He did 52 beers from from Barcelona to Banshee. Yeah.
But is that also begs, like, if you're going to be told that you don't have a contract, I've heard rumors of some riders that have been dumped the day before the Tour of Spain started via text. Like,
yeah. But the thing is, when you get told you're not going to have a contract, you get told by one person, you get told by your current team. But then there's still 18 other World Tour teams out there, and there's also twice as many Pro Conti teams out there. So until the 31st of December of that year, you still there's still a chance.
Well, mate, in your case, you didn't have a contract until 1st of May, 1 year.
2012, with Greenedge, I started in May. But I had signed the contract prior to that. So, like, I knew that was happening.
Horner was another guy that won the World Tour and didn't get a job.
Did he not get a job after that?
It's a kiss of death if you win that.
Don't win the World Tour. That's a Robledge. Oaks is doing all right.
Yeah, he's going all right.
Yeah, what if you win it three times in a row?
You're going to win it? You have to win it three times in a row. Otherwise.
But I reckon if you're going to get the lemon and sass from your team, like, it's got to be face-to-face. You can't dump a rider via text. You've got to literally, I think you've got to show some brass and just say, hey, mate. And then you, same again, you go to your kit bag of excuses.
They should set up like a, do you know what they should do? It's for pro cycling, for the transfer market, or for the, at least for the firing market, like if you're letting a rider go and not giving them a contract, is they should set up like a Tinder-based sort of system.
Where like swipe, yeah.
You know where you swipe and you get a like, and then you start chatting to a girl, and then like a week later you go back to talk to her and she's no longer in your friends list because she's removed you. That's like how they should do it. Like you're chatting with Greenedge, and then you go and you're like, oh, they're no longer in my chat box. It's not
is that how it works? If they just remove you and then you just can't.
I think you
them.
Can block people or remove people. Yeah.
Was that a regular occurrence when you were a single man? It happened. It happened for enough for you to know about it.
The 3 o'clock nap. Really creep.
That normally would just happen if you, like, I think that more regularly happens if you're like in a certain location that you're not there permanently for. For example, you're in Melbourne for the one night after the Sun Tour or something.
We joined a few dots there. But I think that's a great idea, Bills. I think you could create your own private app for managers or teams of, like, all the riders that are available. Swipe left, swipe right. It's great.
You put Andrew McQuaid out of a job.
It is. Like, that would actually kind of work, the way, swipe left, swipe right. Then you at least get the interest. And then obviously what happens from there, like in Tinder, there's a million different scenarios. You never meet the person. You meet the person, you have one night stand. You meet the person, you marry them. Like, you know, there's all these scenarios.
But do you still have to open with like a witty line? Like,
like, so you get a match from like, I don't know, like,
the Spanish guy,
yeah, or like the maybe from like, who's the Italian
love, dude? Love beach walks and riding on the front,
yeah. So you get a match from, what's the Italian dude that trades all the riders?
Oh, not Carrera, Spanish,
and Droney,
no, Lombardi, Savio,
you get a match for Savio, and then like Savio just sends you one message like, pineapple on pizza? Question mark.
And if the team really wants you can do the super light, and that's guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
What about bank 2 years? Super light.
It'd actually be pretty good, eh? Like if you match awesome. With GM, like you flick the managers, so you just, it was just the riders and the general managers of the pro teams who had
that's
Tinder,
it
the Tinder, and you match with them, and then it was up to you to create the relationship. It'd be actually quite good. I like the one-liner idea as well. You get all sorts of things, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Icebreakers.
You just write, just slide in threshold, 6 watts per kilo? Question mark. Interested? Question mark.
No, you need to start work on it. Oh well, by the time this goes out, Andrew McQuaid would have built it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's over.
If you're listening, Andrew, we've got this copyright. So
copyright.
Copyright pending.
Hey.
Tinder for cyclists.
I got an idea. What do you think, George? Double Christmas 2021. September 25.
That's the day of the world.
Yeah, it's grand final day here in Melbourne. So normally in Christmas, what are the negatives? All right. Nothing's open. You know, you're getting your roast ready. You go, oh, jeez, we forgot to get the gravy. Yeah, those little fiddly things. There's no sport on TV. It's always reruns. Like, how many times you watch Michael Bublé live or they're rerunning the carols the night before? You don't have any options. This one is perfect because a lot of people that are in lockdown in Australia, the kids are nagging them. The kids have, you know, they've cut the shits, homeschooling. You can start saying, right, spoke to Santa, double Christmas. He's under the pump, though, because he's getting all the presents ready. You know, you get your sort of one good small little present and, you know, if things are a bit tight in the purse strings, you can bloody make them do whatever. But gives you hope, man. Gives you. We used to do that at Barsapad. It was awesome. Yeah. Christmas.
We don't mind that.
We've done it a few times over here with the when every traditionally like our group of friends go home, you know, back to predominantly Australia or New Zealand. So we all split up for the summer or European winter, and we used to always do a Christmas. Like it started at the Barcelona house, like you say, Jonesy.
Right.
And then we did it at a friend's house, like in November. We just do like middle of November before everyone was leaving, full on roast, Christmas jumpers, presents, all that stuff.
Hashtag great. Double Chrissy. Get the it going. Is,
and also, you're going to be a beneficiary of like the Briscoe sales, because for people like me who go and make the last minute Christmas Eve purchase. That's the one day of the year, like those sports, those shops like Rebel Sport and Briscoe's and those places that have like sales 364 days a year. There's one day they don't, and it's Christmas Eve to catch punters, mugs like us, you know?
Mm.
But that won't happen because it's not Christmas Eve, it's 24th of September.
The date works real well for me as well because I won't be at Worlds and I'll just be, you know what I mean? I'm in that mood, parked up. You don't know Worlds, Beals? You don't know, not announced.
Well, it's a good thing. I don't know because. So we were really close. New Zealand was really close for the first time ever to having six spots. So to get six spots, six starters, you need to be top 20 in the world nation rankings. And we've never done that before for a world champ. So we were 8 points, I think, 8 points off it. So we're back to four like we normally
are. Oh, shit.
But we were 8 points off having, we finished 21st in the rankings. So yeah, the idea was that we were going to have six spots, which was basically all of us World Tour riders.
Minus me.
Minus you. But now...
Why are you doing, George, CBF?
Oh, just don't want to die.
It's not fair a course. That's just not a course for George.
I wouldn't be good. I wouldn't be good in it.
When you look at the World Tour pros that we have in New Zealand, we have...
We have six better guys for that course.
We have guys... All of us are over 75 kilos, except George, basically.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know who will go now, but I think there's probably a few more front runners over me, but I'd sort of like to be there if I can be.
Well, I think people should get involved with the double Chrissy, like take photos, start the build up. I reckon get the tree out on what, 1st September? That's a week away. Do a proper build up, because if you believe it to be real, it'll be real. If you start listening to the tunes, yeah.
Well, worst case, George, if I'm not there, double Chrissy, we're going at your pad.
All right.
Get the words on. I've got a tree. I've got a fake tree. We can... whack that bugger up. I was thinking that we needed, it's been a long, long time since we've done regular segments, Legend of Ballin. I guess you could call them irregular segments now. Are we going to do them going forward, or what's the story? Morning Glory.
Vote. Ask people to vote. Yeah.
I reckon what we should bring Legend of Ballin back.
We should.
All right. I like Legend of Ballin. Should we do a Legend or Ballin segment right now on Legend or Ballin segment to see if we continue it?
Well, I think it definitely gives us a filler. Definitely gives us a filler. It fills in 10 minutes, and then it's just something you don't have to plan, and then you can just go in and just wing it. And some of the greatest moments over the journey has been teeing off on certain characters. And
so you're going Legend? Vote. You're voting Legend on Legend or Ballin?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm voting Legend as well because I think it does bring a good conversation. And strangely, you might not believe it, but there's been times we've had comments on our YouTube, which you should be liking and subscribing to, that people actually learn things from us during that segment.
But there's also been comments around our Legend and Ballin from, who was it, when we did...
JK Rowling?
No, we also got a lot of hate from that one bizarre Facebook group that was...
Oh, yeah. You know,
what was that? It was something very, very strange.
That was so good.
And we voted legend on somebody who turned out to be some part of some. Well, there was a whole Facebook group.
Yeah, it was a cult. This
cancel. Who had been like, it was like one of our richer.
Yeah.
Branson maybe or something. I don't remember.
I can't remember either, but they came in Elon Musk, hot. Maybe. They came in real hot on us.
Well, yeah, we got a bit of hot water from them and they
ripped us.
Yeah. Well, we get ripped every week anyway.
We don't actually. We don't a lot. Actually, we should go to some of the fan questions, but we were supposed to be doing that. Was a segment that we were going to do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to chuck in Bellion for Legend of Bellion just because.
Point of difference?
Well, nothing quite like four, three Bellions calling other people Bellions on the internet.
Yeah.
It's good, eh? Fair enough.
There was actually a question here the other day that somebody asked us that I found quite interesting. The problem is I don't know where it's gone. So, yeah. If you guys talk amongst yourselves, I'm sure I can find it.
What else is news, George?
I'm actually just reading about
the no, here it is. I found it. This is actually quite good. So, I don't know why this person, Mac99, has singled George out. Obviously, they don't see me on TV enough. But why does George race with a rock around his neck? Is it for salt or... He said, why does George have a rock around his neck when he is racing? Maybe for salt or something like that. So what he means by this rock is what George and I both have, which is in New Zealand, it's called a ponamu, which is a Māori necklace. And it's made from greenstone, which comes from the rivers of typically the South Island of New Zealand. And it just has they have all sorts of different meanings, but it's sort of a bit of a connection to home, bit of a spiritual connection to family, to good health, to our country, basically. Simple terms. That's why we wear it.
But what do you mean by salt? Like, as in, like,
a salt rock that the horse is having, you just lick it. You lick it there, get some salts in. I don't know what he means by that. But maybe
they're common because Julian Dean wears it. Like, heaps of Kiwis do.
Every Kiwi does.
Every Kiwi that lives overseas has one. And a lot of Kiwis in New Zealand also. Because, it's like the tradition is that you don't buy them for yourself. Someone normally buys them for you. So, like, my one here, I've had since my grandma and granddad bought for me in 2008 when I went to Beijing Olympics. They bought this for me, and I haven't taken it off ever since. And, like, obviously, it's a connection to home and everything, but it's also a connection to my grandparents who I lost... Both passed away in the last 12 months, and I wasn't there for the funeral. So, but at least I got the ponamu on my neck to remember.
He makes a good point there, doesn't he? Like, I think about how much grief I give the mechanics trying to get my bike to 6.8 kilos, and I'm just charging around a big piss off rock around my neck.
Yeah, have you ever smacked yourself in the tooth with it?
Oh, mate, every time I take my t-shirt off,
yeah,
it's like, if it's on the outside of your t-shirt, you pull your t-shirt off, and it just fucking dips you.
Like, can you hear this? Hurts a bit. Like,
so you never take it off even when you're going to bed or anything? It just always stays on?
I've only taken it off 15 times, and it was for all my surgeries. I had a mate, actually, when the Super Tuck existed. This was years and years ago. A mate of mine. He was racing an amateur in France, and he got in the old Super Tuck on a hot summer's day. So he had his shirt unzipped, and the ponamu got wrapped around the string got wrapped around his garment. And as he got to the bottom of the descent, he went to sit up, and he was just stuck to his handlebar. Coming into this hairpin corner, and Sydney came out, and he couldn't get off the handlebar.
I've had that before, but we were racing one time in Tour Colorado, and Larry Warabas came up to me, and he's like, "Fuck!" And I was like, "What?" And he was just really, like, properly pissed off. And I was like, "Mate, what's happened?" And his granddad had given him this ring, and he was wearing it around his neck. It was like a family heirloom or something, and he was wearing it around the neck. Same thing had happened. Aero tuck, hooked under the garment, and he went to pull up, and he was like, "Fuck," and he pulled up real hard, snapped the chain, lost his ring at, like, 100k an hour.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Dear boy.
Do you race with a ring, George? You do, don't you?
Yeah, but I've got a quick release ring, because it's got like a, you know, it can break off if it has to. It's got like, it's a wraparound ring. Because I heard this crazy story of a guy who is actually not cycling related, but he actually a guy who used to work with his brother or something. I can't remember. Loose connection. Anyway, he jumped up to grab something from the top of a, like basically to touch the top of a basketball hoop kind of thing, but it was just behind this wall. He went to jump, see if he could touch the top or grab something. And on the way down, his ring got hooked on the hooked on the top of it, and just like
that happened to Ween Dogs, mate. He lost a finger. He was cheering him on at the Vuelta, and it was at a motorbike circuit. You know, they got like the cage, you know, barricades, and he jumped up to shake it to cheer on Ween Dog, and he slipped and he stripped his whole finger, and he's had to get it removed, the finger down to the nub, because he was cheering on the Ween Dog. The Ween Dog goes, "Oh, I felt better. I gave him my old Oakleys."
I used to race
sunglasses. Is it? Sorry, you lost your finger, mate.
I used to race with a ring, and then I crashed in Parry Bay 2013 or 2014, and broke three bones in my hand. And so, as you can imagine, my hand just went like poof, like into a one of those fucking poisonous fish, you know, those blowfish, whatever.
Puffer fish.
But thankfully, the ring was on the other hand. But that was a moment of realism for me where I thought, if the ring was on that hand, oh, it wouldn't have been good, eh? Like, you have to cut it off somehow, I guess. But if you don't get there, and like, my hand was five times the size of what it was within the blink of an eye. So I'd stop racing with rings from that point, just fair as enough. A safety concern.
So when are we gonna lock in a regular time to do the shows moving forward, or just keep winging it?
Well, you ask that question every week, and what do you think?
Nah, screwed. Like, share, subscribe.
I've got
a notification every time.
I'm away next week racing. Eneco Tour, Benelux Tour, so the week after that. So I think we can't shoot for days, but I think and the listeners might be able to give us some comments and feedback on this, but I'm thinking every 2 weeks is a good time. Because it gives people time to
interact with social as well, like, you know, double Christmas, hashtag, send us your photos, and we can bounce back and forth. There's still other ways we can communicate.
Well, it also gives people time to listen and watch the episodes. George is
very good, George. Breakfast.
What are you eating, George?
Nothing.
Don't tell me you're eating porridge or some shit.
Some porridge.
Is it actually porridge?
No.
What is it? Oh, bullshit. George is sitting there going, "Geez, this show, was it ever any better? Was there a point where the show was better?
Would it come back? Surely.
Would it come back?"
I think I've got rose tinted hindsight glasses on. I'm just going, "Fuck, you know, hour of my life."
You know what, though? Like,
You'll never get it back. It's done.
Oh, I'm so tired.
George sort of comes, he ebbs and flows, to quote Carlton Kirby. He ebbs and flows out of, in and out of the show.
Speaking of Carlton Kirby, I was watching his commentary on earlier this year. I've got him mixed with a different guy. I think it was Paes Bas. Man, he's pretty harsh on some guys, isn't he? Guys were doing pretty good TTs, and he's like, "Oh, he'll be real disappointed with that." They're like a minute down. He's like, "Oh, he's a shocker here." I'm scared to like look back at some of my TTs when I come in like 4 minutes down.
Oh yeah.
I must be just copping a scolding.
What I was meaning is that George comes in and out of the show, and to be honest, you know, depending on what we talk about, sometimes when George is here, we get good numbers, and sometimes when George isn't here, we get good numbers. So you come and go as you please, mate.
What's the same with that? Low expectations.
We had great feedback from the last episode with Scotty McGrory, though. That was a great episode.
That was actually I actually did listen to that. It's the only episode I've listened to. And that was actually... No, I'm serious. That's the only episode I've ever listened to.
Oh, I believe you. I wasn't going, "Oh, that's a lie." No.
And only because at the end of it, Buell said, "Oh, that's actually a really good episode." And I was like, "Yeah, all right." And then he's like, "No, I actually listened to it." And I listened to it. And, wow, it's a great episode.
Scooter's great because he's really open to talk about anything. I think once I didn't know where he was going to go with a lot of the stuff, but then when he was like, "Okay, open book," I was like, "All right, here we go. Let's go."
And actually,
more than ever now,
it's
relevant more than ever now.
Well, also, I mean, New Zealand cycling at the moment as well. You know, with loss of Liv Podmore, I mean, that really made it like, oh shit, this is actually a real thing. You know, it's not like it actually happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, for sure.
So if you haven't listened to that episode, if you listen to this episode and you haven't listened to that episode from the couple of weeks ago with Scott McGorry, it's worth a listen. It's well worth a listen.
Yep. Yeah, stop. Yeah, turn this one off.
Yeah.
And go.
Yeah.
Maybe we should focus a bit on that. Like, we do an episode every couple of weeks, más o menos, more or less. And then we do a serious one every now and again.
Or should we just give people a heads up at the start of the episode, like, all right, don't listen to this one, or this one's worth the hour?
No, you say, keep this, go away and do something, but let it play out so that we get the numbers.
Yeah.
You don't listen to it.
At the start of the show, you could do like those pizza reviews. Just give it an honest score, and just so that they know. You go, today's show, and at the very end, probably about a 5.5. Like, share, subscribe.
Yeah.
And then other days when you're red hot. Yeah.
On that note, like, share, subscribe, everybody. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Good to have George back. Enjoy that porridge, you
absolute
wounder.
Don't forget, double Chrissy. Let's do it. Get the
trigger. Are we
going to
go roll
number one?
Double Chrissy hashtag. Are we going to go roll the arm over, George, or what?
Yeah, let's go.